friends. Welcome to the show. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thanks for joining us tonight. Ingrid Castle has asked me to fill in tonight, and we have a very powerful show for you tonight. I'm going to ask for people's activism and caring. We're going to discuss a woman who's locked in a psychiatric facility for her legal action and her political beliefs. We have some feedback there on the board, so it looks like that's gone.
Everyone's off.
Okay, we just had a drop on some calls, so we're going to get back to that in a second. I can start out the show by asking people, why do you listen to RBN? Obviously, we listen for truth. We listen for information. Sometimes it's entertaining. Tonight, I'm asking for activism. I'm going to bring the case of Elizabeth Harding Weinstein, who's a woman who was married to a very wealthy man. She brought evidence of pedophilia. The husband used his power in the courts and his wealth to basically have his ex-wife locked in a psychiatric ward without a psychiatric evaluation. The order being issued by a municipal town judge, okay, the guy who does traffic tickets and, walking your dog in the park with no leash or something absurd like that, has this woman locked up for months in a psychiatric ward in New York State. So we're going to try to get her case out there tonight. We have Bill from California. Bill is with theamericanvoice.org. That's theamericanvoice.org. We're going to bring him back. He was on the line, but I guess we had a dump. We got all our calls. Our guests got dumped here, so, and I can see why, because we're going to reveal the pedophile network tonight. We're going to talk about the real law. What is the real law, the true law? And put up some crowns in heaven, and hopefully people will make their voice heard when they hear about the outrage of this woman being locked up in a psychiatric ward. She's perfectly, perfectly lucid and very coherent and cogent and very smart and to the point. I talked to her for multiple hours on the phone, and I'm thoroughly convinced this woman is not mentally ill. I think you'll agree with me. We do have a pre-recorded thing that we did earlier in case she was not able to appear tonight. We're going to see if she's going to be able to use the phone at the psychiatric facility that she's on and come forward and tell her story. It connects to Jeffrey Epstein. It connects to the elite Hollywood pedophile network. This is a very powerful, this is a very important case where the rich and powerful are using the court system and the attorney, the big heavy-hitting law firms to lock away the truth tellers, such as is happening with the January 6th protesters and, of course, Julian Assange and et cetera. I think we're at the point where if somebody is bringing forth difficult truth and they're credible and they get locked up, that's a sign that they're in the right, not that they're in the wrong. Okay, it used to be, well, they're locked up. Geez, they must have done something wrong. Wouldn't somebody would let them out if it was a really if they weren't guilty and someone would do something, wouldn't they? And this whole system can't be corrupt. Like, sure, it can be. And at this point, the being locked up part is a badge of honor. it's a testimony to their credibility, not to their criminality. And of course, there are criminals who are locked up, and some people are, may even deserve to be there, but not a woman who's fighting for her children in the courts. And because of her legal strategy and her political activism and her exposure of the elite Hollywood pedophile network and their political operatives. That's not somebody, that's not an appropriate and just and honorable and righteous use of our court system. So I know Ingrid's show is called Immunize Wisely. We're going to try to immunize herself from the legal system that's got their hands on all the truth tellers. And with that, I want to see, let's catch up here and see, do we have Bill from California? Bill with the American Voice, are you with us, my sir?
Yes, we do.
Beautiful. Okay, and Bill's so gracious tonight. Bill's going to basically do the whole broadcast with me tonight, but Bill has agreed, and we appreciate that, to let us have a little bit of time to bring the case of Elizabeth Harding Weinstein forward. We're also going to have an advocate named Barbara Stone from Florida. Boy, what she told me about DeSantis turned my stomach. Topic maybe for another broadcast. We'll see how much time we can squeeze in tonight. People, DeSantis is not what he's being purported to be, some patriotic, freedom-fighting guy who's taken on the system. Nuh-uh. I wish it were true. I really do. But unfortunately, it's not. So we'll see if we can get into that. But that was one of the more shocking things that Barbara Stone brought forward. But she's an advocate who's suing an international criminal court on behalf of the children who are being trafficked by the CPS courts and similar organizations. She's a former attorney who had her bar card taken from her. She got disbarred because she was going where nobody else would go. She was confronting the system, taking on the big hitters, the heavy players who are orchestrating and executing and presiding over this child, just an extensive child trafficking network. What you're seeing with Weinstein and Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein is that just scratching the surface, tip of the iceberg. So we're going to bring the case of Elizabeth Harding Weinstein. I have not even asked her if she's related to Harvey or not, or her husband was. But similar behavior, unfortunately, that name just seems to follow that around. So in this case, but we welcome the gentleman to come forward, Mr. Weinstein, Elizabeth's ex-husband, to come forward and tell his side of the story. He's been reluctant to do that, refusing to do that. And it shows presence of guilty mind that they would lock up this woman she's a smart woman. I mean, she speaks better than I do. So she should not be locked in a mental facility. So we're not here to adjudicate necessarily, you know, is he this or is she that? We're trying to get the point across that this woman does not belong in a psychiatric facility. She's not mentally ill. So she's being the system, just like in the Soviet Union, just like Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the author of the Gulag Archipelago. They're using the psychiatric system to lock up and throw away the key of political dissidents, people who expose corruption in the courts, people who take on the elites, people who tell the real truth, the hard truth, nothing but the truth. It's here in the trenches tonight. So that's my lead up, and I'm asking people to care. Look, why should you care about somebody you've never met? An injustice somewhere is an injustice in our backyard, in our front yard, because look, if they're not free, you're not free. If Sam on the board's not free, and we thank Sam for his work tonight at RBN, I'm not free. If I'm not free, you listeners aren't free. If Chance in West Virginia isn't free, Andy in Texas isn't free. Okay? We're all in this together, and we have to be. All we have left is our collective voice. Let's make the collective a positive thing, a positive experience, a positive concept rather than a communist thing. Let's make it a patriot thing. And having patriot women locked up for fighting for their children, you know, look, if they had a legal case against this woman, they'd be using the legal system and putting her in jail. I guess they already did, but because that case didn't hold any water, they shuffled her off into the psychiatric system. She's been there 6 weeks. I want everybody to think about waking up tomorrow morning and finding yourself in a padded room because of your political activity where you can't get out. They stole $80 million from this woman. She was doing very well up until now. She can't get her hands on her own money. They have her in a guardianship on the orders of a municipal judge, not even a state Supreme Court judge. You want to talk about the lower lackey witches court that has no business even adjudicating a traffic ticket? They're locking up a woman who's fighting for her children in a psychiatric ward and throwing away the key. Guess what? No psychiatric evaluation because she refused the psych eval. They deemed that incapable to stand trial, and so let's put her in a psychiatric ward. I'm sorry, there's been no psych eval to say she's mentally ill. What are you doing putting her in a psychiatric center? Well, we know. Lock up, throw away the key, bury the truth, attack the messenger instead of addressing the message. And with that, I'm going to see, do we have Barbara Stone there to navigate our way through this case? Barbara, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. I missed the beginning. We had a little bit of a disconnect issue, but I'm here now.
I heard. Well, let's do this. Bill, chill for a minute, and I appreciate you being there because Bill is kind of going to be the overseer. We're going to turn to Bill to see if we can get solutions, legal and lawful. I'm going to use the word advice or help, but education and insight on what's going on and how we could apply certain maybe court case precedent, jurisdictional challenges, affidavits, et cetera, to help this woman get out. So we're gonna weave Bill from the American Voice in with Barbara Stone from Florida, and then when Elizabeth Harding Weinstein calls in from the psychiatric facility, we'll bring her right in. We're going to put the brakes on and bring her right in because she can only use the phone once in a while. How do you like that? She's got no computer. She can't do any research. She can't file any documents. She's in that proverbial position like jail where they give you a crayon because they wouldn't want you to have a pencil you could hurt somebody with, and write up your habeas corpus with a crayon. Oh, that's going to make a good impression on the witch's court. So they have her at a complete disadvantage, and I can't go in and represent her because I'm not a bar-licensed attorney, and that's what the court's requiring. But I can help her represent herself, and I can do everything in my power to get her out. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Barbara. Give us a background, a little bit on you and what you're doing. We can weave this case into it or whatever else you're doing with the International Criminal Court. I thought that was fascinating. Take it away, Barbara Stone.
Well, thank you, Eric, and thank you so much for doing this and for being so passionate about it. And, you know, people, it becomes very complicated for people to understand because of all of the crimes committed by government officials. But what I try to make really clear to everybody, and I repeat it over and over in all of my presentations, it's not complicated. It's very, very simple. And it doesn't originate in the courts, and I'm going to make a comment about that in just a minute. It originates with the fake laws that strip us of our unalienable rights. And people have become so used to having millions of laws enacted by government criminals that they believe that it's the norm, and they believe that these laws are legitimate because that's the narrative that the government wants you to believe, where exactly the opposite is true. Our rights are not constitutional rights. They are not civil rights. They are unalienable rights. They are rights that we have because we were born. There are human rights, there are natural rights, and legitimate governments are there only to protect our rights, not to enact false laws that I call Nuremberg Nazi laws that strip, steal, rape, trespass, usurp our unalienable rights. So I have come to the conclusion after fighting the government racket for over 13 years that the only thing that the government should be doing is figuring out where our garbage can be picked up. They don't have any ability to determine really anything whatsoever dealing with rights. And the other thing that's very bizarre about the whole thing and people accept as the norm is that our unalienable rights vary from state to state. So in one state, you have an unalienable right to do something, and in another state, you step over, you know, the state line, and oops, that right is now gone. So I lived in New York for many years, never set foot in court. I practiced real estate law for over 25 years. I was licensed in Florida and in New York. I had no clue that we were dealing with a cartel, a racket called the U.S. courts and called the U.S. government until I personally became affected by it, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute. But what I've come to the conclusion is that the courts are used as an adjunct to carry out the crimes that are contemplated by the illegal laws to get people like Elizabeth Harding Weinstein, who is one of the most intelligent people I have ever met, into their racket, into their jails, and into their mental facilities, because that's their biggest profit-making center. That's what runs the government now. Human trafficking its citizens, whether it's throwing them into court, whether it's throwing them into jail, whether it's throwing them into mental facilities, because they get paid by the federal government they get incentivized to put people in jail and to put people in mental facilities and to keep people in the courts and to steal children. So I'm going to stop for just a second, Eric, before I get too deep into this and just see if you want to go a certain direction with it, or if you have any questions, or if you, you know, want me to continue with the presentation.
I want you to continue doing what you're doing. I want Bill to jump in if he needs to at any time to interject. And we also want to see if Stacy is with us tonight. Stacy is one of the women who brought this case to my attention, so she may be waiting in the wings as well. Anybody can jump in, but you just take it and run with it, Barbara. You continue on your present thought.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Yeah. Can I jump in real quick before she continues here?
Please do.
Is that Bill?
Yes. This is Bill.
Hi.
With the American
Hi,
Voice.
Bill.
How you doing? First of all, let me say this. We have no governments. Governments cease to be governments when they cease to protect the rights of the people, and the proper term is unalienable rights, meaning they can't be liened, but that's exactly what they have done through the use of the birth certificates. So when you talk about government, you have not had government in this country proper since its very inception for 245 years. We never won the Revolutionary War. That's the biggest lie. They just switched soldiers and uniforms on us, took away the real soldiers, and brought in the king's civil militia, which controls everything that you're talking about. They control all the courts. They control everything in it. There is nothing in this country that has anything to do with government or protecting the people or their rights to private property. It's all commerce. And every one of us in this country is deemed to be cargo in that commercial stream that's controlled by the British territorial government, better known as the United States, and I yield.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And that kind of leads into what I was going to get into a little bit later in my presentation, because I've spent months breaking down the fraud in the Constitution. And that's what's enslaving people. The very document that people have been led to believe protect their rights is the very document that enables the tyranny and the treason by the impersonators who are running our country. And so I've spent an inordinate amount of time pretty much going through every clause in the Constitution to break it down and to show that there's nothing in the Constitution that protects our rights. There's nothing that enforces our rights. And the only reference in the Constitution to the protection of property is a reference that protects the property of the government. But the overriding thing, and it's a little bit, it's kind of a little bit parallel to what you were talking about, Bill, because you're coming at it from a different direction. I'm coming at it because you've got to remember that I was a lawyer for 25 years, so I'm breaking down this into the law itself and to show that these are not legitimate laws. These are all illegitimate, unlawful laws. But the overriding thing that people have to understand about the Constitution, and then you can put it all into context, is that the majority of the people that signed the Constitution owned slaves. They were slave traders, and so they prepared the Constitution to protect their own interest. And so I've gotten to the point where I've found four clauses in the Constitution that protect and preserve slavery. And there's a whole lot more, but I haven't finished my dissertation as far as breaking down the Constitution. So nowhere, anywhere else in the Constitution is so much time spent dealing with the very subject that creates our enslavement. And that's the protection of the slavery, of the slave trade, by the founders. And the other thing that I found that's very interesting about the Constitution is that it was a lot of the so-called founders were part of secret societies, including something called the Freemasons, which I don't know enough about to get too deep into. All I know is that it's a secret society, and the Constitution itself was prepared in secrecy. The Constitution was attended by 39 delegates of the 77 delegates that were appointed to attend the Constitutional Convention. Only 39. Can you imagine? 39 people, the majority of whom were slave owners, and all of whom were government officials and appointed by government officials, were the ones that created this farce called the Constitution to protect their own interests. And so it was the impetus for having the bloody Civil War, because the Constitution didn't abolish slavery. It protected slavery. And what I find so upsetting is that we have, you know, the cult public buys into the Constitution even at this late date. We're almost 240 years after the fact. 240 years later, it's mind-boggling that we have a document that was prepared by an agrarian society that we've long, that was never legitimate to begin with. But even if it was, we've long over, you know, it's long overdue. It's moot. It's obsolete. It's draconian. It's archaic. We need to get rid of it. And so what I've been doing is preparing a declaration of unalienable rights and sovereignty, the sovereignty of we, the people, because we're in a war with the government against the sovereignty of we, the people. And we, the people, again, have lost track of the fact that we are the masters, and these people that pretend that they're running our government are public servants. But one of the things that you mentioned, Bill, and I kind of want to get back to it because it's also an overwhelming issue, is the fact that we're not even a country. We're a corporation. And that was done by the act of, I believe it was, you're probably better than I am with it. Was it 1871, I believe? The act of 1871, yes. Which was later repealed, but then it was reenacted several years later, which pretty much does the same thing. It registers the United States as a corporation, and all of our agencies are corporations. So that means that their loyalty is to their employees, their shareholders, the government employees. That's what this is all about. So we have no rights because we never had rights under the Constitution, and we have no rights because we're living in a country that's a corporation. It's the most Machiavellian. It's the most depraved. It's absolutely lunacy, sheer lunacy. And people are the only ones, we the people are the only ones that are going to be able to effectuate remedy. So for a very long time, before I went through this whole thought process, I thought, well, maybe this government official doesn't know what the other government official is doing. And so I would go up to the next tier in the government, you know, file in the next court and complain about crimes. These are crimes being perpetrated by all of them, you know. And so we're schooled in the thought that we need to go into another civil court to file complaints about crimes being perpetrated by government officials, imposter government officials, actually, because they're all under color of law. And the statute and the federal government is 18 U.S.C. 912, talks about imposter government officials, which is exactly what they all are. And then I just want to get one other thing out there, because we're talking about a lot of things, and I just want to, again, go back to the fact that these are our unalienable rights. They can't be legislated. They can't be controlled. They can't be adjudicated. That we own our rights. And by removing all of these illegal void laws from the books, these courts no longer exist. All of these fraudulent agencies no longer exist. So in my opinion, it's the laws that are creating this fraud, fake, illegitimate government. There is nothing about these laws that has any legitimacy whatsoever. But the other thing that I want to throw out there, because people don't understand this, and I didn't understand it for a very long time until I got very deep into an analysis of the Constitution, is that there's nothing in the Constitution that creates federal law enforcement. There is nothing in the federal Constitution that creates law enforcement on a federal level. So the way it works under the federal government is that the legislators actually created all of these alphabet soup agencies, the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, et cetera. These legislative officials are the overseers of the FBI and the law enforcement. So what do you think is going to happen if you file something with the fake corporate FBI or the Department of Homeland Security or any of these other alphabet soup agencies against one of these legislative officials and or against any of these legislative officials? They're all working in conspiracy, and the government, the law enforcement, is subservient to the legislators. So do you think anything's going to happen? Of course not. We don't have federal law enforcement. Under state laws, many of the constitutions do set up a constitution. Under the Constitution, they do have law enforcement. They do have a sheriff. But because we're lawless, the sheriffs are not performing their duty. And that goes back to the two things that we talked about, the fact that we don't have a legitimate constitution and we have a corporate country. So I'm going to kind of stop here and see if Bill or Eric wants to jump in, and then I'm going to move forward a little bit and talk about some of the provisions of the Constitution specifically that are illegitimate.
That's perfect plan, because we have a break coming up in about 2 minutes, maybe a minute and a half. So what I'll do is I'll apologize to Bill. He is going to get cut off, but Bill, get the ball rolling, and when we come back, you can continue, Bill, and we'll just do back and forth with Sharon and Bill until we get the call in from Elizabeth. If we get too close to the end of the show and she has not called in, we'll play a pre-recorded interview I did with her. So, Bill, take it over until the break and then pick it up after the break.
Okay, well, we've been at this a little bit longer than 13 years. I've personally been at it now for 44 years. What we've been able to do with the help of two retired federal district judges was they pointed us in the proper direction to find where and how they have subverted the laws of the United States into statutes which don't apply, never were supposed to apply, and that we were warned by Jefferson and many of the founding fathers. And here's what I look at.
Hi.
We'll do this when we get
back. Oh, we got Lucy. We got Lucy on the phone. Do we have Lucy on the phone?
Beautiful.
Hi, okay. How are you guys?
Hold the call. Hold right there, Lucy. Don't go anywhere. Stay where you are.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola.
I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Bill in California from the American Voice. We're talking with Barbara Stone in Florida. We're talking about the Elizabeth Harding Weinstein case being locked up in a psychiatric ward. Since Lizzie's with us, Bill, if you could just hold your thought, and I want to, because Elizabeth has, she's in a psychiatric ward being held as a political prisoner, Soviet style, and if you'll just hang tight, Bill, we're going to want your insight on this, so hold tight. I think you're going to be a very valuable asset in helping us get Elizabeth out of this psychiatric facility where she's being forced to stay there against her will. They're trying to force medicate her on some order from a municipal judge. That's like the lowest lackey bootlicker you can get. Elizabeth, welcome. And I'm trying to get a feel to our listeners that, you know, I'd like them to hear it in your voice and that you're not mentally ill by any means. And, give us your story. If you can give us the condensed version, then we can maybe take some time and open it up a little.
Great. Thank you so much, Eric, for having me on. My name is Elizabeth Harding Weinstein. I'm a 50-year-old mother. I have no history of no history with the courts or criminal history whatsoever until I filed for divorce from my law partner husband, who is a partner at Davis Polk & Wardwell, a senior litigation partner. And as soon as I did, my husband then began using his playground, the courts, as a weapon against me, manufacturing frivolous prosecution, using ex parte orders with no due process to kidnap my children away from me, to evict me from my homes, they kept all my belongings. I mean, we were married, it's now 20 years, and, you know, what happened is I discovered some very unsavory things, let's just keep it at that for now, about my husband. And my husband at that time was under, I'll just tell you, he was under a pedophilia investigation and went missing for 2 weeks, during which time the kids were in my sole care. I thought that my husband, being a Yale Law School graduate, you know, Duke AB scholar, he's on the board at Duke University, you know, a senior litigation partner, I thought he was suicidal and contemplated because now this issue of him being a pedophile was out. And instead, what happened is he came back with an ex parte order in favor of him and the children who were in my sole care. And, two police officers came into my home, spent 2 hours trying to convince my children to go with my husband, and they said, we don't want to go with him. He's a pedophile. We talked to him on May 20th, and after we spoke with him, he then left the house the next morning, and he's never returned, and we're safe with our mother. And the police said, okay, there's nothing we can do. You're of age. They were 13, almost 16 and 17 at the time. You're of age. You guys are obviously safe. They were in our house for 2 hours, and they went to leave. And my husband then got a new ex parte full vacate and stay away order sent to his phone on a Friday night at 6:30 from a judge that I now know had no jurisdiction over our issue. She's a judge in a different town who wouldn't have jurisdiction over the White Plains area where we were. But I didn't know any of this because I'm not a lawyer at the time. And so then the cops came back in and evicted me from my home. Sorry.
It's okay. Take your time.
I was able just to put a few things in a bag, and they kind of placated my children, who all said they wanted to come with me. And the cops, it was Sergeant William Bassett and Officer John Raphael, told my children that if they left with me, they were going to, of their own free will, that they would have to arrest me for kidnapping. You don't want us to arrest your mother for kidnapping, do you? Look at your mother. She's so strong. Don't worry about it. Just stay here for the weekend, and by Monday she's going to get this all worked out. That was on June 5th of 2020. After that, my husband then seized all my bank accounts, dissipated my assets, left me, even after I filed for divorce from him and I sought to get support payments, he wouldn't issue the support payments. I would file contempt motions, and they would say, he would go to court and he'd say, Judge, I've been trying to pay her. She just won't take the money. And then the court would turn around as a weapon against me and say, Mrs. Weinstein, you're irresponsible that you're not taking money that this poor man is trying to give you. It was sick and sadistic. I was cut off from my children. I couldn't have any direct access to my children, even though DSS, Child Protective Services, who we now know as Child Trafficking Services, had who was involved with the investigation, the pedophilia investigation, had submitted a letter to the court stating that the children were safe and thriving in my sole care while my husband was missing for these weeks on his pedophilia investigation. So that was the last testimony that they have. The children are safe and thriving, and there's no evidence of harm to the children by the mother. And then the judge, Arlene E. Katz, issues a full vacate and stay away order during the time of a COVID moratorium on evictions and a state moratorium on any change in custody under Administrative Order 7820. That was June 5th, 2020.
They pushed this through in defiance of their own statutes and bylaws. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yeah, go figure.
Exactly right.
No surprise,
and
yeah.
And so then that was the last time that I've seen my children. And from there, it just escalated. So, you know, I think taking children away from a protected parent is one of the most horrific and terrorizing things that you can do, both to the children and to the parent, right? So
this
when that happened,
crippled.
I think my husband just thought that, because his whole thing is, she knows I'm a pedophile. She has the evidence of it. She's brought it to the police. She's not going to stop. So the only thing I can do is make people think she's crazy, right?
Going to steam, yeah,
steamroll
mode.
Right, it's a Martha Mitchell effect. It's the easiest thing in the world to do, and it unfortunately is something that we tolerate in our society and is the linchpin that our judges are now using to traffic children to pedophiles and abusers throughout the country. And so I know we were talking earlier before I came on specifically about the Constitution and about our laws being wrong, but we have to remember, laws themselves don't enslave people. A document doesn't enslave people. People enslave people. And
bingo.
So who are the people that are doing it? It comes down to the judges. We have given our judges this immense power, okay? These people that are doing this to me are nobody in terms of, like, the higher-ranking officials, and yet they've been able to take my homes, take my children, most importantly, take my children, take my homes, take all of my property. I've never even been allowed back into my home to get my property. They've confiscated my mail, my passport, canceled my car insurance, canceled my medical insurance, all without due process. I've never had a hearing. I've been denied access to the court, and my husband just uses these judges to issue orders, and then I'm not allowed any due process whatsoever, and then those orders stand. And then he, what he does is he escalates this frivolous prosecution. Like, so my charges are, one was that I was sitting in my car meditating where I sat every day, and I have a video of the police coming to the car 2 days earlier and telling me, yes, this isn't in violation of this ex parte order protection, you know, you're not doing anything wrong, but he doesn't like you here. And I was like, I get it, but I'm not doing anything wrong, so now you're harassing me, you can't even bother me. And so I have that all on video. Then what happened is I went to the police on July 29th to have them escort me into my home, as was the order of the court, that I could get escorted back into my home to get my belongings. They didn't want to do that. They instead assaulted me. I have it on video. I filed charges against them. So then the next day they came to where I was meditating in my car, and they arrested me. They pulled me out of my car, threw me in handcuffs, impounded my car, which was the only place, you know, because I'd been left homeless by these orders, that my entire life was in that car. And so that then began a cascading effect where they would do something terrible to me, so then I would file a federal lawsuit about it. And then because I filed a federal lawsuit, the judge then had me arrested and put in jail for not wearing a mask in a public building. That was in January of 2021. And all of these videos you can see on my website, Lizzie's Army. And so then
So when they arrested you, he doesn't like you being here.
Well, they would say that to me. They would say that to me. And you can see on the video, I think it's on like July 17th or July 18th on my website.
We'll post
you'll
it.
See that there's a video, and they're like, okay. Yeah. No, it's not a violation, but still.
That's the whole problem. It's not a violation. What? Because you're who are you listening
right,
to?
So you can't say
orders
anything.
From this guy. He doesn't like you here, so you're under arrest. I mean, it's absurd.
Yeah, exactly.
This is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Continue.
But the horrific part of all of this is when I started telling people about my story and the use of these ex parte orders in order to kidnap children, to commit grand larceny, to evict you from your home, to deprive you of your liberties, I thought that this was going to be so horrific that everybody would jump on board and help. And instead, as I started getting inundated with calls of people saying, yeah, me too. And I'm like, what do you mean, me too? You got an ex parte order, and then your kids get kidnapped, and then you've never been able to see them again, and then now you can't live in your home. And they're like, yep.
Here's what all the Me Toos can do. Under a statute called Misprison of Felony, all you have to do is know of, okay? You don't have to be intimate related to or involved in the case in any way. Once this has been brought to your attention, people, this goes for all the Me Toos and every listener of this broadcast right now, and we're going to get it out to a lot of people. You need to, under misprison of felony, it's actually a crime if you fail to do whatever you can to bring this to the attention, not only bring it to the attention, but act as best you can within, of course, the bounds of decorum. We're not advocating violence or anything. Buddy, go do anything stupid. Okay, don't keep your language clean. Don't threaten or swear. Be professional, but be firm and spread this to as many and demand this woman's release. Everybody out there can file a judicial complaint form against this judge and an attorney bar complaint form against the attorney. The husband is one of them. There's a whole bunch of other attorneys involved for the municipalities and whatnot that are prosecuting in this. They can all get a complaint from anybody who has heard about this case. It only has to be brought to your attention, and once it has been, it's not only your right to file a complaint on behalf of Elizabeth, who's on the phone with us tonight. It's your duty. It's actually considered in some realms a crime if you don't speak, and I kind of agree with that.
They wouldn't be getting away with it if these other organizations actually had any integrity to them. So, like, the Judicial Review Committee is headed by one of the appellate court judges who is committing the crimes against me. The chief judge of New York State, who has recently stepped down, Janet DeFiore, is the wife of one of my husband's law partners, Dennis Glazer.
Oh, you got to be kidding
Janet
me.
Pierce,
oh, yeah. No, I know. I know Janet DeFiore. She's the queen of all the witches' court in New York. Yeah, and she's married to... to the one of the people at your law, at your husband's law firm?
Correct, Dennis Glaser. Kirsten Gillibrand, who is a senator, New York State senator, I'm sorry, not a state senator, a senator from New York. She was a Davis Polk associate and worked at Davis Polk.
So this is a major, so this is a major heavy hitting law firm.
Correct. And so the firm itself has all of its tentacles. You know, they've got people at the Fed. They've got people at chief legal officers of the major banks. They've got people in the Department of Justice. They've got judges. They've got judges on the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. They've got judges in the you know, main districts throughout the country.
Everywhere.
So it's a very deeply embedded process. But what I want people to understand is that these people still operate on the premise that they want to be seen as respectable members of society, right? Like,
not anymore.
The people that have been through it cannot deny that our judges are some of the biggest criminals that we've ever met. Because not only did they commit the crimes of these kidnappings and grand larcenies and, you know, poisonings, right? Because that's what they're about to do to me, is they're trying to force me into these psychotropic medications that cause neurological deprivations. I mean, it's ridiculous how they decompensate you. The drugs
Pause for a second, and I want to catch people up to where exactly are you right now. Where they want to force medication.
Right now I'm in a place called Rockland Psychiatric. So my husband's plan is this. He brings these frivolous lawsuits against me, which he knows he can't win, like wearing a mask in public building. The point being that when I'm in jail, the judge then says, oh, you know what? Now that you're here on a misdemeanor charge, which in New York State, especially when the misdemeanor was a nonviolent disorderly conduct, you don't have a right to put anybody in jail. So the sheer fact that I was in jail in and of itself shows the criminality of the judge. But during that time, what they do is they then say, oh, we don't think you're competent to stand trial. So in New York State, that's under the criminal procedure law, it's Article 730. And so then under 730, they get a psychiatrist who works in the prison to say, oh, yeah, we figured her out, and she doesn't even know what the charges are against her. So therefore, she can't stand trial. And then the judge says, oh, well, then I'm just going to have to put you in a psych hospital. Because, again, my husband's mentality is that he needs me gone, and he needs me discredited, and he needs a platform which he can stand on to say, oh, no, 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 just ignore all that pedophilia stuff. She's just crazy. So this is what he does. He was trying to use the family courts. He was trying to get a forensic evaluator, kidnap the kids and say, you want to see the kids? You go get a forensic evaluation, and then I'll let you see the kids. And I'm like, you disgusting human being. What is wrong with you? How could you do this? They are not pawns. They are human beings. But it's a very common tactic. And then judges will use this issue of, you know, a forensic evaluator who's come into your home or met you for 1 hour, and they will diagnose you with some ridiculous, obscure schizophrenia is their choice right now. This is what they're trying to claim, that I am schizophrenic, which is ridiculous. Like, I'm not a 15-year-old.
No, listen, I'll tell you right now, I've talked to you long enough to know that you're not schizophrenic. You're extremely intelligent.
Correct.
The fact that you're able to make it through blows my mind. So the cops, I want to just go back to one little event, because this has kind of just stuck out in my mind as a real example of how they're just completely trying to destroy you and nothing else. There's no, you know, there's no punishment for a crime that you did, or there's no need for you to be incarcerated in a psych ward. But the cops actually walked you into your own house after they took all your money and told you to take your stuff and leave and basically go homeless.
I'm condensing the story, so you're mixing a few things up. The cops didn't take my money. My husband did.
I understand that happened
after I got evicted. He then froze all my bank accounts. I mean, it's been insane what he's been able to do. He froze my
bank accounts. It shows that you're right. It shows that your mind's working pretty well, because You caught that right when I said they. I didn't mean the cops. I meant the system. They ran you broke. The courts ran you broke, and then ordered their executioners. And I'm glad you brought up the lower level people who were actually doing this, because when I said bingo, that struck a nerve. Because I, here, look, these people at the top would not be able to do anything. They wouldn't be able to do the pedophilia ring, traffic in children, rip you off, confiscate private property, take your guns, all that stuff, unless there were executioners lining up to do it. And idiots, some of them in the alternative media, who are saying, well, the police are just doing their job. Well, they're just taking, you know, they're ordered to do it, so they have to. That didn't work for Adolf Eichmann after World War II. His lawyers tried that. He was taking orders. He had to do this. He had no choice.
Right, no.
Sure he did.
Issuing ex parte orders without due process and then having the cops enforce them is an indefensible practice of both our courts and our police. Right?
Okay.
When you can say that this order has never been tried, that you've never had a trial, how can I depreciate all of your, take away all of your, not depreciate, but deprive you of your property and your liberty interests? Without any due process whatsoever, just because somebody said so one time ex parte, this is insane. But yet that's all it takes. It's a, and this is such a common practice. It's so prevalent in our society that Netflix actually did a series about it. If you guys watch Dirty John, the Betty Broderick story, this is what happened to her back in the 80s. And in the end, it got so bad that she went and killed him, and now she's in jail for murder. But
okay, so listen,
where they use these...
Let's,
the judges are using, low-level judges are using ex parte orders to take your children, to take your homes, to take your property, and then take commission your inalienable rights to parent your child and turn those things into a crime. But the things that I'm accused of doing, posting a picture of my children saying that I love them, leaving a voice message, putting balloons on my son's car when he got into college, none of those things are crimes.
Balloons and love notes are not criminal acts. It sounds like an act of a loving mother. So here's what I want to do. I want to, in the limited time we have, I want to make sure we shift gears over to practical. What can we do? I know what we can do. Let me take care of that. Give us the name of the facility one more time, very specifically.
Sure.
I'd like all our RBN listeners who care to write this down. Get your pen and paper out. We're going to give you the name of the facility. I want you to call the CEO, the director. Don't hassle the people at the lower level who are taking care of, you know, I know they're to blame, but it's only going to get Elizabeth her phone rights rejected and all that stuff. So be polite, but go to the CEO, the top of the food chain for this facility, and we'll also give some other numbers that people can contact. We'll post them in the chat room. I appreciate if Mer's out there doing the chat room. Mer, we're going to send you some stuff you can post in the chat. People can go there, and we'll try to get it up at courtroomwatch.com as soon as possible. What is your web? Do you have a website, Elizabeth?
Yeah, you can go to lizziesarmy.com, but they've tried to isolate me because this is the normal practice, both of guardianship courts and the criminal courts. They want to isolate you, they want to medicate you, they want to decompensate you, and then they liquidate. So isolate, medicate, decompensate, liquidate, right? And then they take your assets. So I'm in here.
Wow.
They're really preventing me access to internet. We used to get access to the internet, and then after I came, they shut it down, so nobody can.
I know you're looking for whatever help you can get. So I'm going to step forward and kind of post the stuff that you can't post. I'll get the word out when you can't do that, and I'd like everybody else to do the same. So I'll take care of the information. So it's called the Rockland facility. Is that it again?
Yeah. Let me give this. It's called Rockland Psychiatric. Rockland Psychiatric. I was placed here originally under the guise that I couldn't. I was incompetent to stand trial on the misdemeanor charge of posting pictures of my children.
Right. Then they don't put you up on a trial. You don't lock somebody in a psych ward because they can't. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Right. And then once I got here, the hospital illegally, and I do say illegally because they didn't follow the mental hygiene law 9.27, which is required in order to have somebody converted into a medical certification. So they kept me here. They didn't abide by the mental law in order to have me originally in the facility. And when I brought that to their attention, they then converted me and said, well, you're not here in the 7:30 anymore. We're holding you under a medical certification. We're claiming that you're schizophrenic, and we're forcing you to take lithium and risperidone as heavy-duty antipsychotics. And here's the kicker. What they say my disease is that I'm paranoid to think that judges are putting me in a psych facility. But that's what's happening.
Yeah, the proof is in the pudding. They're doing it. I mean, don't...
Yeah, I was like, How about the fact that that's actually what's happening, that that's rooted in, that's grounded in reality? How about the fact that that's the truth? So here's
well,
the answer.
They're making our case for us that it's not going to be that difficult.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. So I'd like to ask all our listeners to follow this case closely. Go ahead. Do you have anything else to give us? And
so,
I don't want you to stay on
the
phone so long if you get in trouble.
Okay, so yeah, I have to let somebody else use the phone, and I'm going to try and call back before you guys are off at 10. But let me give you the address. So it's Rockland Psychiatric, and the address is 140 Old Orangeburg Road, O-R-A-N-G-B-U-R-G, Orangeburg Road, Orangeburg, New York, 10962. And it's Building 58, Unit 204. And I would appreciate any letters, like just letters, support, even people that are going through it themselves. And you can send that here to my unit. And you can also, the phone here, the main phone, the guy who's the medical director, his name is Robin Hamilton. And his email is robin.hamilton@omh, like Office of Mental Health, .ny.gov. Gov. So Robin, R-O-B-I-N, .hamilton@omh.ny.gov. And Anne Marie Sullivan is also the chief executive officer, and Janet.Monroe is the executive director for the facility. Now, I know that Albany personally has been involved in my case because a couple of doctors came one day and said that they got a call from Albany about me, and therefore they needed to do a room search. So you got to stop and say, listen, I don't know what's going on with this woman, but the fact that somebody from Albany is calling a hospital in Rockland about a mom who's supposed to be in there for 7:30 for on a misdemeanor charge shows that there's something bigger going on here. The level at which they're trying to shut me down is insane, and you got to wonder why. You got to wonder what else is behind that.
It's called presence of guilty mind. Yeah, now if you're going to give out the phone number, hold right there. Okay, I'm trusting all the RBN listeners, I know I can, that when you call to talk with Elizabeth, two things. You keep it clean, be nice to the people who work there, because it's only going to make it more difficult for Elizabeth if somebody cops an attitude. And the second thing is, don't chew up too much time. I don't want to get her phone privileges revoked because she used it too much or whatever.
They're not,
they'll make up whatever they can, you know.
They're phone rights. They call them privileges because they want to take it away, but it's actually right. Remember, I'm supposed to be in a hospital.
I was speaking from there. Yeah, I get it. Point taken. I was speaking from their standpoint. But it's Eric the Freedom Screamer. Hold, everybody. We got a break. We'll be right back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.